Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, welcome, gals, girlies, to a very special episode. We are so excited by our guest today. We are longtime fans, as you all are, of the Beam Me Up Softboy Instagram account. I think we've probably referenced it a million times. And the hidden anonymous creator is anonymous no more. She's an amazing writer and columnist, Iona David, and her book, Is This Love or Dopamine, is coming out this week. So we've got her here to answer all your burning questions.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
Wait, so when did you actually launch Beam Me Up Softboy?
Well, it was like 4 years ago, but it actually was at the end of my first failed softboy relationship. I literally just put two and two together. I thought they were completely unrelated, but like the dates are exactly aligned. Like that's 100% what it was.
That's so funny. And like when you started the account, how quickly did you start getting submissions?
Oh, so quickly. Like I started it because I did it on my other Instagram and I was like, we were just messing around, getting my friend's ex-boyfriend to say weird shit over message, and I screenshot it and was like, send in your stuff, guys. And people love it. People love to send in. And like, yeah, it kind of just snowballed from there.
I feel like it's the first time I'd heard the word softboy. Like I assume you didn't create it, but you maybe just popularized it.
I didn't create it, no. It was very much like indie softboy at the time. Like I've spoken about this a lot, but like when I first started the page, it was just about like alternative men who like wore docs and like listened to records and shit. Like I didn't start it being like, let's showcase like the worst men ever. But obviously that's what it has become. So here we are.
Yeah, so it's kind of timely that we're chatting and that your book's coming out now because it's been 10 years since Tinder started in September.
Has it?
It's been an entire decade. And so the Cut, the reason I know this is because the Cut has done an entire, its whole next issue is based on online dating, internet dating, Tinder's 10 years.
Really?
So perfect timing. Do you
remember
life before Tinder? Were you an early user?
I actually remember Hot or Not. Do you guys remember that?
No.
It was Tinder. Like, it was the same concept as Tinder, but it was like you press Hot or Not instead of swiping or whatever. But yeah, way too young to be on there. I was like 13, but I was loving it. Nice ingraining the beauty standards and all of that from young ages. We love to see it.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like when the internet, when all of these kind of chat rooms and stuff were all taking off, it was so unregulated because I think our parents had no idea of what was going on. Like I would be on those forums with my friends just pretending to be, we would be like 13, 14 speaking to like 50-year-old men pretending to be women.
It was just, it was like actual chaos. Like how the word was meant to be used. Like, it was fucking ridiculous. Like, yeah, on Omegle at a sleepover, that was just like the most fun thing to do. What, when I was like 11, just chaos.
Yeah,
we interviewed Caitlin Moran and she said that like this era, our generation's era of the internet, was like the old wild west, because everyone has just been like feeling everything out in real time.
Yeah.
And it's just this crazy unregulated mess. And I kind of feel like that's what's happening now with dating, but just anything that's going on with human relations online. We're all kind of looking back now and being like, wait, that was really fucked up, that should change, this is weird. But
yeah,
at the time we just didn't understand.
Honestly, we didn't understand at all. Like, there's no way of telling how it would have affected our brains at the time. But like, yeah, that was like key developmental stages of our lives. We were literally like 10 to like 14, like the most fucked up shit. So I don't know why I've got clothes. Like Tumblr, all of that stuff. Like, yeah, I talk about it in the book. It's just it's completely mad. Obviously, like 10 to 14 year olds today have a completely different set of issues, because like they've never not known it, and that's going to fuck them up in like a whole different way that we've not even thought about. But it was definitely a time.
So do you remember your earliest like internet dating and our common usage of the apps? Like, were you quite early on that? What were your experiences with that?
Well, you wouldn't actually meet anyone from, I do remember Hot or Not and like the interface, and then it like very quickly just like stopped. I reckon I must have had it for like 6 months, but that was just more of like a, you like see boys from your school and you're like it's like, it was, you wouldn't, I don't think I met up with anyone off it. And then I think it was when I was like 16 it must have been when I was 14 that Tinder showed up. To be fair, I made some friends on Tinder when I was like 16 that I still have now, which is like the most wholesome use of the app. But
yeah,
it has just, but it is just how it is now. That's my hot take. People love online dating these days.
Yeah, I saw a piece the other day saying that, kind of trying to examine why it is that we still feel ashamed to say, or like part of us, which I met my boyfriend on a dating app, but it feels like you still feel funny when you say it to people, or you kind of like laugh alongside it. And it's kind of interesting to interrogate why that is, because for so many of us, that's just like the reality now, because everyone is perpetually online.
I feel like that's going to continue while like our parents, because like my parents were on like online, like it is like a thing to be ashamed of for that generation, because it's like, it was so on. I think there was a period of time when it was just like a certain type of person, would go on the dating apps, and like they didn't want to be associated with it. But I feel like the shame is going to go away, like as people, because it is just like, it's kind of just moved online, and like there will be a point where people forget that it was ever like there was ever any weirdness associated with it. But you're right, like it is weird, isn't it, when you meet a couple that's met on Hinge and they're like, oh, we met on Hinge.
I think maybe part of it is even the fact that when you are online dating, it's just very blatantly putting yourself out there, which is like inherently just a bit, what's the word, Grace? Like, not wholesome.
Like sincere, or like earnest.
Yeah. Which is worthy.
It's so earnest that it's cringe. But then if you're cringe, you're free. So
if you're cringe, you find love.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's got to be done.
It was funny. I was rereading, I don't know if you remember this, like in, I think it was in 2015, around when Tinder just started taking off, Vanity Fair ran a piece that Nancy Jo Sales wrote, and it reads really retro now, but it was really decrying Tinder and internet apps as like Seamless or Uber Eats for sex, and that it was really bad for like intimacy and relationships. And I kind of read it and it felt so outdated, but then I did kind of wonder, like, I mean, this is a big question, but I don't know if you have feelings on whether it has been net negative or net positive to have moved all our relationships so online.
I think that it's been net neutral. Like, I think that the I was literally thinking about this yesterday. Like, it's a bit weird that the whole, what, like, the whole world is turning online. Like, that's just a thing that's happening. And, like, it's just, it's weird, but, like, I've kind of made my peace with it, because if I don't, like, I'll just be having a panic attack constantly. So, like, everything's online. So it makes sense that that should be online as well. And I feel like there is a way that you can make a connection. Like, you can go on Hinge or whatever and find someone who feels the same way as you about it. And you can, I feel like you can definitely make meaningful connections on it. I think what freaks me out is that it's so commercialized now. Like, this big company, Match Group Inc., is like in charge of all our relationships, and they're like making money off it. That's what creeps me out. Like, the fact that it's online is like horrifying if you think about it in like the way that the world is going kind of way. But that bit doesn't stress me out as much as the, like, yeah, the commercialized aspect.
Or even the way that they trick you, and like, if you're not, I don't know, for friends of mine who have been in long-term relationships and then they get out of them and it's their first time online dating, and you have to kind of explain to them all of the ways it works. And like, one of them, which is really sneaky and horrible, is how, I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but I know this from experience, is how, like, you go on it and Hinge or whatever will show you all of these hotties, like all these eligible good-looking guys, and you're just like, oh my God, this is amazing, this is great. And then very quickly they will disappear. And then if you go off the app for a bit and take a break and you come back on, I honestly feel like they show you, like, I think they have an algorithm where it's like the guys that are getting swiped yes the most, they'll then like show you if you join the app the first time or if you're like coming back after a hiatus. So then you get really excited and you think it's all amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird.
They obviously want to keep you on there. Like, it's like, that just makes complete sense, but
it makes sense, but it's still fucking weird. Like, what, like, what, you'd go into a bar like 30 years ago or whatever, like, there wasn't any higher, like, horrible corporation like trying to mess with like your intimate, like, it's like the most intimate part of life. It's like one of the only good bits. So why is there some massive company that's just like, they're making so, and I didn't really, it fucks, it like pisses me off that Hinge, sorry, I'm gonna go on like an anti-capitalist rant, but it does annoy me that Hinge and Tinder are like owned by the same company, because they're literally just like squaring it off. They're branding it like, oh, there's one that's for like hookups or whatever, and then there's one that's for like love, but it's like they're the same picture. Like,
yeah, I didn't actually know that until I read your book.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't, yeah, it's just, yeah, anyway, so I'm getting angry. That's, what was the question?
No, it's, sorry. No, but it's kind of part of the question, because it's like, we have, like you say, outsourced love and sex to these companies. I actually saw a TikTok the other day that said on this exact topic that because these companies are optimizing for like growth, they want as many users on as possible. Their algorithm is like not, it's actually not set up for you to meet the most compatible person. I'm trying to remember how they worded it, but it's set up to match as many different people to as many people. So if there's someone that really suits you, but you also have four other people that kind of suit you, and there's a like girl over here that's got no one that suits her, they'll give her your match because they just want like as many users.
I think they want it to fail. It's but like, some, like, if I talk about it like that, it's going to sound like I've just failed at it. So it's like, but you do sometimes think about how, like, yeah, they want you to stay on the app. Like, what are they doing? Like, I feel like, as well, there's such a big, like, loss in, like, because it's so shallow. Like, it's so shallow. It's all pictures. Like, Hinge and Tinder, like, there's a few prompts or whatever, but, like, it's all pictures. Like, the amount of people that you, like, swipe left on because they have bad pictures, like, surely there's a way that they can do dating profiles that are like slightly more, like, have a bit more depth than that. Like,
I know, but then they introduced the voice
there's no way
I hate it so much. My friend did one and I was like, you must delete that immediately.
Oh my God, it's completely unacceptable. I really hate it. Like, especially because men talk so close to the microphone as well, and they're like, hi, and it's like,
oh my God. It gives me the biggest ick ever.
Honestly.
Okay, so taking it back to the central part of why we're all here today, soft boys. So for the listeners who are lucky enough to kind of have avoided him thus far, can you just do the honor of, I know in the book you define, there's a lot of different kind of genres of soft boy, but could you define a soft boy as a whole?
Soft boy as a whole, in his current definition, is seen as like a man who presents himself alternatively, and in the way that he dresses and like the things that he reads, and like he might listen to like vinyl instead of like Spotify or whatever. That's like the more superficial stuff. And then like the stuff that gets highlighted a lot is how they like are kind of self-proclaimed emotionally aware, and they use this like so-called awareness to like kind of talk to the people that they're trying to say. They're basically just trying to fuck people over, but they're trying to do it in a way that's like kind of sneaky and makes you think that they're like not like the other men or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, on the worst end of the soft boy spectrum, they can be just like straight up emotionally abusive, but that's only a small part of them. But those are the ones that get brought up the most, obviously.
The best thing, so my own soft boy experience that made me understand what it was so immediately was, I remember being in university, I was studying like film studies, and I was at a party, mm-hmm. and some guy goes,
"That's like a soft boy."
Yeah, I was a soft girl. Yeah, and this guy was like, I just remember so clearly my brain him being like, "Guys, this chick reckons you can name more Quentin Tarantino movies than me." And I was like, A, there's like six. This was like 2010. B, that's like, it was just so, and I just think about that all the time, because there is this, like, not to make it serious, there is such a like misogyny in the way so many of these men talk, because they're talking about the most mainstream things and they think that they're like,
That is a classic softboyism. And it's good to like, so I feel like the softboy can best be described in like examples rather than like, I don't know, I struggle to define him like quite a lot. But yeah, that's just the fucking gatekeeper. Like, it's misogynistic. They're like, oh, there was one text that got sent in that was like, I've never met a woman who likes Radiohead in my life. And it's like,
I just saw that. I think I just saw that in your book. I was laughing
honestly,
so much.
They're the most popular band, like, probably ever. Like, just fucking take it down a notch. Like, yeah, no, it is misogynistic. Different levels of misogyny. But, yeah.
I wonder what that thing is where, like, I think about things that are considered alternative, like the Beatles or Nirvana or, like, I know Tame Impala is a modern one that everyone talks about. And I just don't understand that disconnect of them equally being the most famous, widely regarded by everyone thing, and then people also thinking they're uncommon.
That's the thing. So there's, like, I do talk about this in my book, and, like, I think my editor told me to cut this chapter because I got, like, very weirdly into it. I think I was in my room with a lot of post-its, like, trying to come up with this theory about, like, it's, like, mainstream alternativeness. So you have, like, Dua Lipa, for example, who is, like, mainstream. So say, like, 30% of people listen to her, and then the other 70% are, like, want to be away from the mainstream. So they all end up listening to Tame Impala, which makes them more popular anyway. Like, it's just like, yeah, it's just not, it's, yeah, it's not as niche as these soft boys, some of these soft boys think. And it's just so funny when they're just like, wait, what, you've heard of Mac DeMarco? Or like, oh, they're like, oh, I feel like, there was one that was like, I feel like I'm the only person who actually understands Mac DeMarco. I feel like they have this like, which I understand, like, you have an emotional connection to like these artists, like, fine, but other people are allowed to have that too. Or also other people are allowed to listen casually.
I just find it really funny how they just think they're so unique. Like, it's this kind of narcissism and this crazy main character energy of just thinking that, like, they're the first people that ever discovered music.
Oh, my God, I know. It is childish. Like, it is actually childish. I know that because, like, yeah, I don't know if you read in the book. I had a similar thing when I was, like, 11, and I heard Only Girl in the World by Rihanna on the radio, and I was like, oh, my God, this is incredible. Like, and also, I'm the only person who's heard it because, like, I don't even know, I was just a child and I didn't realise that, like, it's the radio and everyone can hear it. And then, like, 2 weeks later, everyone started listening. I was like, ugh, yeah, like, I actually knew this before, it was cool. But I was 11 and, like, these men are, like, grown adults. Like, come on.
Yeah. So in the book, you go into, like, different soft boy categories. So there's the wholesome soft boy, the self-awareness as a weapon soft boy, the gatekeeping soft boy,
other than the actual like abusive soft boy, what would you say is the worst kind of soft boy to encounter?
They're all just irritating in their own unique way. I've actually forgotten most of what I've written in that book. I'm trying to think of what categories I gave.
That would be me if I wrote a book.
Also, I've kind of like, I have a lot of strong opinions in that book about like specific emojis and stuff, and I've actually kind of just like backtracked on all of them since I've written it. Like, I just frequently use all of the emojis that I slagged off in that book, like complete 180. But worst kind of soft boy is the ones that talk down to you. That's a really dry answer. I actually just can't think at the moment, but there are some that just like, they're just irritating. No, let's come back to that one. I'll have a thing. Yeah.
Do you think, have you heard any, okay, so the Beat Me Up soft boy is obviously so based around submissions. Do you do anything to, I mean, they all seem so real. Do you just like take them on face value? Do you feel like anyone's ever tried to send you fake ones to try and get covered?
Oh, I feel like there's no way that I've posted for them for that long and like none of them have been fake. But I do try and like, have a look at, like, just I try and think about like the context. I don't know. But yeah, there's no way that there aren't a couple of fake ones on there. But, I have no way of vetting these things.
So yeah, like, no, they all feel real.
They all feel real and they're all funny.
A listener of our podcast has been featured.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's on my phone. Rough. She sent it to me.
It's not a soft boy.
Hey?
No, it's a girl. It's a victim of a soft boy.
It's a victim of a soft boy.
Sorry, a victim,
I was
going
to say, you need to change your circle.
So she said, they said to her, what's wrong with the blueberries? And then she said, apart from the awful flavour, I think Violet Beauregard is evidence enough. And then he said, one obscure reference, but it just means you're culturally aware and I dig it.
I remember that one.
And then, yeah, you wrote Manic Pixie Bloob Girl.
What an obscure reference to like the most popular children's movie, one of the most popular children's books and movies ever written. Like, that's insane.
so funny.
But I was going to ask, yes, that was a long-winded way of me asking. Have you ever had anyone message you, but they've actually ended up being like a nice boy or they've ended up dating a soft boy or like any soft boy love stories gone right? Because some of them are quite kind of wholesome.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Some of them are wholesome. I don't post so many wholesome ones on there, but like most of the ones that I don't post, so I'll post like 1 in 100, and most of the ones that I don't post them because I'm like, this is fine, and like, you're like, it just seems like a normal relationship to be like, I don't know, there's never been a soft boy angry messaging me being like, take it down, or maybe like once or twice. But what happens most often is whoever sent it in will message me saying, like, take it down, like, he's seen it, and, like, I take it back, like, I don't want him to see it, I don't want him to think it. I do get people re-messaging me being, like, we're actually in a relationship now. And then sometimes, even, like, a year after that, they'll message me being, like, yeah, we broke up, it's okay. It's mad. I have, like, a full-on Richard Linklater film, like, playing out in my DMs. Like, it's just, you can see, like, it's mad. Yeah. It's mad.
A soft boy wedding that you can officiate?
Oh my god, yes. I haven't thought about that, but maybe I should start offering my services.
Yeah. It's a very elusive industry.
Yeah.
So funny.
Have you learnt any, or do you have any advice for someone in terms of like avoiding bad soft boys in their dating lives, early red flags? Like, what's your take?
Maybe I should do like a list of red flags. I feel like through like following the account and stuff, it's just good to have like, know your values and know what you would consider a red flag. And then the crucial bit is to like not ignore it, because like emotions come into it very quickly, and if you ignore the red flags soon, like, there'll be more red flags, and then you won't be able to ignore them because your emotions will be getting the better of you, which just happened to me like a million times. Like, just if someone starts to piss you off, like, there are a million other soft boys out there. There are so many, like, we've seen that there are so many, like, just move on and like cut it off. That's it. That sounds really harsh, but I think I've managed to avoid, since I've kind of adopted that strategy of stuff that I've learned through the page and stuff, I've kind of managed to avoid, like, there are just people who are just time wasters, and I know that they can be fit, but like, it's not worth it.
I was trying to think, so like, obviously Timothy Chalamet has been poised as like the face of the soft boy.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of like what woman celebrity would be a soft girl. Would it be like someone artsy? I mean, Saoirse Ronan's popping into my head, but just because of Lady Bird.
I was about to say the exact same thing. I was like, all I can think of is Saoirse Ronan, but it has to be,
I know,
because they were in a movie together.
Yeah.
The thing is with women is like, we're so much less likely to be arrogant about, like, we're just the opposite. We'd never be.
I think Cara Delevingne is like weirdly a bit of a soft girl.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's kind of like a pick me. In my brain, it's like a pick me girl, or like, I'm not like the other girls.
Yes.
Girl.
The
girl
Chloe Zhao like, in 500 Days of Summer, definitely a soft boy, soft
yes.
girl.
Yes.
I just like, I find it, I don't know. I'm actually just like, I'm actually kind of done with just like branding like soft. I don't know. I just end up talking so much about how soft boys are bad, and like about like the like depths of emotional abuse, and like it's really bad, and like soft girls can be abusive, and like I'm just like, I know it sounds really reductive, but like that's not like, I'm happy to try and help with that stuff, but like that's not why I really started the page, because I thought it was funny, and like that's what I'm like, I'm so, to say a soft, like, I would definitely call myself a soft girl, like I'm so loose with the definition of soft boy. I would say it covers all genders. It covers like good people, bad people. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to categorize, like, think of who the poster soft girl and soft boy would be. Because I don't think Timothy Chalamet would be the poster soft boy. Sorry, but I'm actually going on a rant here. But like, Timothy Chalamet is, you know, like, if I say to a guy like, oh, you're such a soft boy, I don't mean it in a bad way. But they will be like, oh, that's really bad. Do you know what I mean? They'll be like, they'll take it really personally. So I'm like, clearly my definition of a soft boy is not what other people think it is. So I don't want to brand Timothy Chalamet as like a soft boy if he thinks that means that I'm calling him emotionally abusive, because I'm not. Like, I'm just judging people based off what they wear, in which case that is Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, but I think the way the internet brands him as a soft boy is in like a lovable way. That's kind of in the way that you would, that you're talking about, because everyone still wants to fuck him, but they're like, he obviously reads them poems.
Yeah, you might have to cut that bit. Sorry, that was such a disjointed rant.
No, so fine. You have a chapter in the book about ghosting, obviously kind of an essential part to include if you're talking about online dating. And then you said that your editor told you needed to include it, but at the time you were like, I don't actually know what to say. And then miraculously, at a perfect time, you got ghosted.
Got ghosted really savagely, yeah. That was rough in terms of, like, for anyone who's listening who hasn't read the book, I got ghosted by this guy who I was talking to on and off for, like, a good few years. But we were meant to meet up. And that I took, like, 3 weeks to reply, which it's fine in my opinion. Like, sometimes you take a while to reply, but he just didn't reply at all. So I got properly ghosted for the first time, and I got so stressed out that I sent him an email, which was really tough in terms of like accepting myself as a person, like, after I'd done that. The amount of times I have ripped men to shreds for doing that on the soft boy page, I literally did it myself, is what I'm saying. Like, we're all a bit hypocritical at the end of the day. But yeah, wouldn't recommend it as a method. Didn't feel any better after doing it. Still ghosted. Bon appetit.
Did he reply? No.
No. I felt like I had to edit that story quite a fair bit as well, because my editor was like, this is too real, and like, you might sue us for being included. Or you'd have to get his,
you're like, I emailed have to get him written. At john at blah blah blah.
Yeah. She was like, we might need his written permission to include this story. And I was like, I would fucking get it if I could, but he's not replying to me, so I'm gonna have to change.
Can you follow up that email? Just chasing up, I'd also like written permission to publish this whole exchange in a book. I love it. But this is the problem with the internet, is like the etiquette around, like, I have ghosted and felt really guilty about it, and then also obviously being ghosted and being like hung up about it, and even in the book obviously you go into like very funny you know, detail about like different emojis and what we can like deduce from them. But there is this thing with online conversations when you're dating where you're trying to figure out, like, not if you're going to marry this person, but if you want to spend time with them or maybe sleep with them, and you have so little information to go off, and then you meet them and you have what feels like a really maybe meaningful either online or real life experience, but then it's so easy to just not reply to a message. Like, it's blurred the lines of, I don't know, normal polite society.
Yeah, genuinely. And it's like, yeah, it's just like you could just end a connection just like that. But I feel like people get ghosted and they do ghost. So like, if we're taking a really bleak view of society, like, that could just be the way that things are going. Like, you just don't even need to say bye anymore. You can just stop interacting. It's just like, I mean, I wonder why people ghost. Like, It is mad how much we are expected to like communicate online. Like, it's so convenient, and I get that, but like, having to like being always, it's like your door always being open to everyone in the world all the time, and like, you have to like get back to them. It can get overwhelming. So maybe ghosting is like a stress response. I don't know, maybe I'm just trying to make myself feel better for doing it occasionally.
You know, I went out with a guy to like a comedy concert, and like everything about it was just, it wasn't even terrible. Like, you know how sometimes average is worse than terrible, where it's just like nothing like the whole time, and I was just like scared they were going to pick on us for audience participation, and he just dropped me home, and he just sent me like a really innocuous message. It just felt easier. It just got to a point where it felt easier to not text than text, which I think is easy. It's easy to feel like that about other people, and then it's very hard to visualize someone feeling like that about you, because you're like, wait, I'm the most important person in the universe. How could they not text me?
No, it's so true. And it is just sad. Like, everything is, all of this communication is so easy, that like, it is just like, we just love shit being easy now. So it's like, it's easier to not talk. So I'll just do that. Maybe we're becoming a more selfish society. No, actually, no. Surely not.
Definitely also, are.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think it's, I think the problem with online dating is kind of that mentality of just like, there always being someone else there, or like, just that continuous swipe thing. You go on a date, you don't really put much time or energy in. And I don't know, I feel like I'm very big on that feeling either being there or not. Like, I don't think you should have to really work really hard to find it with someone if it's just not there. But I think that we can just be so quick to judge now and so quick to write people off because the next person is already there to message us or something. Like, so many times I've like matched with someone and been like, oh, they seem cool, they seem into the same stuff as me, our conversation's fine. And then literally, like, we'll swap to WhatsApp or whatever, and then you have a chat on WhatsApp that night, and then you wake up the next morning, and I'm just like, for some reason, I don't know why, but just deep in my soul, I know that I just never want to speak to Henry again. Like, I just can't be bothered.
No, but that's so fair. Like, the sheer quantity of people that are on these dating apps, it'd be like walking down the street and talking to like every man that you saw. Like, obviously most of them are going to be not your cup of tea. Like, that's just how it goes. But it is wild how many conversations you can get into, like the amount of numbers that you have saved on your phone at the end of it all. That's like, damn, Hinge, but all Hinge afterwards.
Oh my god, my last date before I met my boyfriend, who I met on a dating app, was with this guy called Dan Hinge, saved on my phone. And he obviously ghosted. We had like this, remember Grace, we had some really boozy night out.
Yes, and he was the really, was he really handsome? Was that the one that you were like, not intimidated, but he was like very on paper handsome?
Oh, no, no, no. So there were two. The one that was very on paper handsome was the most boring person I've ever met in my entire life.
Mm-hmm. Never trust a handsome man. I've said it once and I'll say it again.
And then the other one was just like a naughty, naughty fuckboy
mm-hmm.
who the next day we went on a date, kissed somehow in my drunken haze. I ended up back at his house and then I like left because I was just like, what am I up to? Left, went home, ghosts me for like a week, then texts me out of the blue. I don't reply. So he unmatches me on Hinge and then blocks me on WhatsApp. I was like, all right, Dan.
That is very temperamental from Dan.
I was just like, I'm not gonna, like, you don't need to block me. I'm the one not texting you back.
You can just block someone and then you're like, well, now I've blocked you. So, but, yeah.
You block the email guy. Yeah. You'll never be able to email me again.
Oh, man, no, I'm way too liberal with the block button.
Are you? That's it. Funny. Someone, my friend went out on a date. This is like perhaps the most horrific dating story I've heard in a while. She went out on a date recently with a guy, thought it went well, got back. And the only way they'd been communicating was through Hinge. Like they hadn't, for some reason, swapped to numbers yet. Gets back from the date, walks inside. So he dropped her off in a car. She closes the car door. Right. She walks the like 20 feet to her door. She opens it up. Her housemate says, how was the date? She says it was really good. Her housemate says, show me him. She goes to pull up his Hinge profile. Gone.
That's just a power play.
That's fucking unmatched her by the time she had walked in to show. And like imagine going to show your housemate. Like, she didn't even discover this alone. She discovers this trying to show her housemate his profile.
With an audience.
They had unmatched her. I was like, you belong in jail.
Who is he doing this for? Like, is he, does he think that, like, his boys will be like, fucking sick, bro. Like, well done. Like, you really won that one. And also, that's such a, like, it's just such a weirdly unique feeling that I'm sure, like, anyone who's been dating in our generation will relate to. Like, it's just the, like, ugh.
That stomach sinking. It's making it happen to me now. Like, mm-hmm. It's making my stomach sink and I feel, like, sick and I feel anxious and sad because I'm, like, that feeling it's of just horrible. Being, like, oh, my God, what is wrong with me?
Like, it's just, like, yeah, no, it's such a downer. I wonder if there's, like, any equivalent of, like, past generations dating or if it's just, like, a uniquely internet sensation of, like, this
well, I guess past generations was, like, they would write each other letters and promise to be at the
altar.
Yeah. Or promise to meet at some place at a certain time. And like we saw on Before Sunrise or whatever the first film in that series was, sometimes they don't meet you there.
Yeah. Loved that it was her.
Yeah.
But it could have been for any reason, like, that he didn't show up at that train.
Yeah, he like died at war or something. It wasn't just.
Yeah, but if someone unmatches you on Hinge, like, that's very clear. That's a very clear message.
It's almost like I feel like, as a person who is bad with errands, I almost feel like he was like, oh, better do this while I'm still thinking of it before he drove off. Like, you know, with us with deadlines, how we're like, okay, if I don't do it now, I'll leave it so late. So he just, like, did it while it was in his mind.
Adult onset ADHD, guys. Let's give him a break.
Yeah. It's anxiety about
I'm trying to think of what my worst... I mean, that guy blocking me on WhatsApp was pretty funny. But I'm trying to think of my worst soft boy experiences. I mean, obviously, like, when you first start dating someone, you want to seem unique and different and special.
I'm so guilty of it, especially when I was younger. Like, and just like, I get accused of soft boy shit all of the time. Like, people on the soft boy account, like, I can't believe you wrote a book. Like, that's the most soft boy shit ever.
It is.
What is my worst soft boy story? This is less soft boy and more just like genuinely concerning in like a very like human level. But this guy I was on a date with was like listen to me, Iona. You think of a drug, right? Think, like, name a drug. I've done that drug.
Drug chat. Oh my God. Drug chat is like the most soft boy thing of
that
all
time.
That is
the worst. That might be the worst one. That's like, I went on that date with that guy and he was like, we were 5 minutes in. He was like 20 years older than his picture. And I was like, I just need to like get out of here. And I just remember like coming to and him being like, yeah, anyway, I ordered some like heroin on the Silk Road and then I got addicted to it. And I was like, what is happening?
Off, you ordered some on the Silk.
That's literally what he said.
Yeah, I read
probably
this
did. He said he was living in Prague. Yeah, back in my day, it was like the actual Silk Road from the like 1920s. Terrible. Yeah, yeah, the drug thing is the worst. But any drug chat is just always insufferable.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it was just really sad to be honest. But also quite funny.
It's funny actually now I'm thinking about it because it's like not to overly gender it, but I think so much of the soft boy stuff comes from like men being so kind of coddled by society and taught that they rule the world, that they don't have that like self-doubt thing, so they feel like they can say all this stuff because they haven't been questioned. And like, what would women be like if we hadn't been told by society like our interest is stupid, what we like is stupid. Like, if we didn't have that, we would probably be exactly the same and think we were cool for liking Tame Impala.
Honestly, it's just ridiculous.
I love it. So the last thing I wanted to ask was, I'm just always curious for writers who write about things adjacent to, like, dating and sex and this kind of thing, is, like, do you feel pressure to bring your own personal experiences into it, and like, what does that look like? And do you ever have like vulnerability hangovers where you'll share something and then regret it, or like, how did you think about that with the book?
I actually think I don't worry about that enough. Like, I will just like slate people who maybe don't even deserve to be slated, but I'll just slag them off in my book because I'm like, yeah, fuck you. In terms of like actually being like actual, I don't feel bad about bringing my own experiences into it, because then, like, when you share your experiences, if someone else hears it and is going through, like, the same thing, or reads it and is going through the same thing, like, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it feels worth it. And I've always been, like, a very open book. I had a meme page when I was younger where I made, like, quite shockingly open memes about everything. And it doesn't really, the only thing that bothers me is if I meet someone in real life and then like they know all of that stuff, like it's a bit of a weird one when they know so much about you. But I just don't really stress about it, because if I stress about one more thing in my life, I just won't make it.
The last thing. I think about that with us having a podcast. So like when we started the podcast, we both were in long-term relationships, and then I broke up with my boyfriend and then was single, and then was like talking openly about just like being really depressed and all this stuff. And then I was like, God, if I'm going to meet someone and they go in and listen to this every day, like if, like for some reason when I talk to, obviously because us recording the podcast is like two best friends chatting to each other, and then plus we've kind of got this community of like really amazing listeners. So it doesn't feel like you're, I don't know, it doesn't really feel like you're saying everything you are saying.
Like if the person that you're meeting afterwards hears the podcast and like doesn't understand that like in the period after a bad breakup, like you're gonna want to fucking talk about it, and you might be a bit like, you know, it's, I think it's healthy to just sometimes be like, yeah, I wish that like I hope like a bird shits on his car or something. Like it's not the most productive thing, but it helps like to just get it out. And I think, yeah, it's just a good thing to talk about these things.
Yeah.
Are you online dating now?
I am online dating now, but it's a bit of a weird one because I'm like sofa surfing around a lot of different places. So I did not think that through when I started the whole process, and yeah, now I'm moving. So yeah, but I know I do still online date. And I've had many different techniques of online dating. Like, if you're trying to be a bit of a slag, then you go about it in a different way to if you're trying to, like, actually meet someone. Like, it's really sad. Like when I was just like, wanted a bit of an ego boost or whatever. I was a bit younger and I was like, God, I have this theory that guys don't like it on dating apps when girls like have personality. Like there are some guys obviously that will like it, but most, but like the majority, like you'll match with more people if you just put like really vapid stuff in your like Hinge quote, Hinge prompt. So I think I just put like emojis, Love Island on my Instagram. And I was just matching with everyone because they were like, okay, well I can put whatever I want to on her. Like I don't have to put up with whatever she thinks she is because I can just make her like whatever I want.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, but now I changed it to just like, I just mess around on it.
Are you on Hinge? What ones are you on?
I'm on Hinge. Tinder, I fucking I don't fuck with Tinder anymore. I might, maybe it'll have a renaissance soon, but it's just every 2 seconds they're like, oh, you like, you've got a secret admirer, and it just, I just want to, oh, it's like a game. I don't want there to be like an ad break or anything. I'm just like, let me swipe.
Yeah, I haven't used Tinder since like the dawn of the internet.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, was on like Hinge. Field is apparently now where a lot of my friends are.
Field
is where the hotties are apparently, but it's also just, it's also like massively for sex based activities.
Yeah, there's a lot like that. I'm thinking maybe like, you know, I really hope that speed dating comes back at some point because that looks really fun to me.
I did a speed dating event once.
As in like you it, or you hosted it?
No, like, I mean, a bit of both. Basically, my friends were hosting it, and I went along as a participant, but was kind of just, like, not super serious about it. But I was thinking the other day there actually was a missed connection. There actually was one person that I matched with who was really cool, but we just never ended up, like, hanging out afterwards. We were going to go, I don't know what we were going to, I think part, I can't remember, something to do with the ocean.
The ocean.
Maybe gonna go to the ocean.
I love that vague and hazy but very sweet story. An excellent note to end on.
Thank you so much for coming on the pod and for blessing us with your time.
Thank you. Thanks so much, guys.
Have a good
okay,
afternoon. Bye.
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 Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.